Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, I'm Robert Reese, host of the CEO Show. It's the only show where you listen to the top CEOs in America giving you advice on success. And last year you heard from David Marriott to the CEOs of Brooks Brothers, of the United Way. But last year, what a year it was, 2022. I mean, we had the Russian-Ukrainian war still rages on, the highest inflation in 40 years, a divided nation. We still have supply chain issues. I was even faced for the first time in my career, we couldn't get our CEO magazine out when we needed to. What do we do? Well, a CEO recently told me, never let a serious crisis go to waste. And I think that's what it's about for 2022 into 2023. This should be 2023, a great year for you to focus on success. We just want to help. This year upcoming, here's some of the immediate CEOs who I just interviewed you'll be hearing from. You'll hear about the president of FanDuel, how they created that, and the future of sports betting and where that's going. Roshni Nadar, the richest woman in India, but basically here's what she's doing. She is becoming the top philanthropist to try to change the world in so many positive ways. You'll learn if you're in a private company from Todd Simon. He is the fifth generation, great-great-great-grandson of Omaha Steaks founder, and what they're doing to grow their business, how they're using digital. It's nonstop, and really all it's about is one thing, to help you become more successful and to create the destiny that you want in 2023 by hearing directly from these top CEOs. Again, it's the CEO Show, and I want to wish you all a happy and prosperous new year in 2023.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Christian Janetsky. How are you, Christian?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And Christian is the president of FanDuel Group. So everyone's heard of FanDuel, and we're going to hear a lot behind the scenes and a lot of challenges overcome because he was one of the key architects of this. But let's first start off with, when you look at sports betting or you look at fantasy sports, it's become a very competitive category. Most recently, how do you differentiate FanDuel?
Sure, it's a great question. I think there are, if you look across the competitive set across sports betting and iGaming, which are our two primary verticals at this point in the business, you have the online-first companies, which would include FanDuel, DraftKings. You have the traditional brick-and-mortar casinos who have online businesses. MGM is in a joint venture with Entain at BetMGM. Caesars operates online through Caesars Digital. Penn National has a partnership with Barstool. Each one of those companies tends to play to their strengths. We tend to be most closely associated with DraftKings because the thing that's unique about the two of our companies as against the rest of the competitive set is that we continue to have daily fantasy sports businesses. So we have a database of sports enthusiasts who like to play games around sports and spend real money doing it. And those users are in all, 45 some odd states. A lot of states that have not yet legalized sports betting. We were building brands around sports and real money gaming for years prior to states being permitted to legalize sports betting. And we were running digital businesses that whole time. So we have a lot of years of honing our digital marketing prowess, again, in the sports vertical, in the real money gaming vertical. I think those three advantages are the ones that typically people look to say what's given FanDuel a head start where we're leading the category. I think the one people tend to overlook that I like to mention, the fourth one, is that we want it more. I think this is our business. sports betting, iGaming, fantasy sports, horse racing wagering. We now have a FanDuel TV, linear and OTT channel, which is an interesting part of our business. But at our core, we're an online gaming company. That's what we do, and we want to be the best at it. We're investing heavily in our talent. We're investing heavily in marketing and acquiring customers. We have incredible know-how in our business because we were merged with the Flutter Group in 2018, which runs the world's largest online gaming business based out of the UK and Ireland with the leading brands in Australia, several markets in Europe. So we have a lot of expats coming into the US from the Flutter Group, bringing 25 years of experience. That, when you add that experience base to all the brand equity and user equity we built up in the US in the run up to sports betting, plus the fervent desire to be number one in this business and not be distracted by other product lines, I think our secret sauce is kind of out in the open right there with the combination of those elements.
And you really built it from scratch. So from a talent standpoint, what's your approach to getting talent? And you and I have spoken in the past that people, like, they love working there. You know, you've had to have several jobs to get there, including, you know, having your own law practice. So how do you build the talent? What's the secret? And if there are any things that you want to share in there with the culture?
We have some inherent advantages with a certain kind of prospective employee in the U.S. in that we are a sports company. We're a tech company. We're a high growth company. There are a host of individuals who are looking for one or all of those criteria. There are certainly more tech companies, more high growth companies than there are sports companies that also fit that criterion. So we have a natural attraction to a certain kind of person, but it's very important to us that we want a very diverse employee base, diversity in background, diversity in thought, diversity in experience. And, you know, to get that, we can't have a company of just people who are huge sports fans and want to work in a company where there are sports quotes on the wall and, you know, sports showing on the TVs in the background all the time. And so our philosophy in hiring is we think every candidate for FanDuel that's a good candidate for us should be able to articulate a very specific reason why they want to work for FanDuel. That reason can be very different. You know, for some, it will be the sports and tech. For others, it will be where I am in my career. I'm either stepping up to a higher level or I'm stepping down from a much bigger company to take a higher level role at a company that's on the rise. And I think there's something specific about my skill set that I can grow at this company. For folks from the Australian sports bet or the Sky Bet or Paddy Power businesses in Europe that are part of the Flutter Group, which FanDuel is a part of, it may be I'm an old dog not learning new tricks where I am. I want to come to the U.S., which is an exciting new market where we're, you know, making the precedent. We can employ all the lessons we've learned in Europe and I can help grow this U.S. business. So there's a lot of answers to the question, but I find when I interview someone and their reason is, they're not that happy where they are. They've been kind of looking around. They've read a lot of positive things about FanDuel. It seems to be a very successful company. To me, that's someone who the first time they get, they have a bad day or, you know, we hit a challenging spot or somebody calls them up and offers them 10% more salary to walk down the street. If you don't have that reason, the specific articulable reason why you want to be at the company you're in, there's nothing keeping you there through those times. And so for us, that's kind of how we build and recruit. It's an interesting challenge because we have big offices in Scotland. We have offices in Porto and Portugal and Cluj and Romania where we have a lot of software engineers. FanDuel's not in those markets. When we hire an engineer, software engineer in Atlanta or in New York, we have people who are seeking us out because they want to work in sports and they want to work for FanDuel. The challenge is a little harder in overseas markets where our brand doesn't have any real residence. And so there, you're articulating a different value proposition. And it's explaining to them what FanDuel is, how it's the biggest online gaming brand in the United States. The United States will soon be the world's biggest gaming market, and that they get to be a part of that. And so it's, you know, you find the right value proposition for the right candidate set.
And how does corporate reputation play into it from you personally and for the organization? And you have about 2 minutes until break.
So one of our core principles at FanDuel is winning with integrity. We recognize that we are a gambling business. People are wagering money with us. They need to feel that they've had a fair experience. When we make them an offer, they need to understand how it works. They need to be able to get a hold of our customer support and get a good resolution if they have a problem. Being an iconic, trusted brand is one of our primary goals. There are times where there will be shortcuts to win faster that aren't the right answer. And, you know, we want to be cognizant of that in what we do every day. And it's especially important in the business that we operate.
The website, if someone wants to go there.
FanDuel.com. Easy to find.
Yeah. I think everyone actually knew that. We're about to take a break. When we come back with Christian, we're going to ask what everyone wants to know. What are the misperceptions about online gambling in sports? Is it good? Is it bad? We'll hear straight from the president of FanDuel when we come back.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish. GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here right now with Christian Janetsky, who is the president of FanDuel Group and actually one of the key architects of building the entire industry. So I want to ask you, what are the misperceptions on the good side, on the bad side? Are we creating a culture of gamblers? Are we allowing people to, on the other side of the continuum, to truly do what they love more than anything else? What's your take on the misperceptions?
I appreciate the question. I do think if you, the further you are removed from understanding sports betting, having people, friends or family who are interested in sports betting and interested in sports, you may not appreciate. There is and has been a thriving sports betting business, an online sports betting business in the United States since the dawn of the internet. It is just all operated in an illegal market, served by offshore businesses who stay out of the United States physically so that they can operate the business, but who take bets from U.S. residents. Oftentimes, the people betting on those websites don't actually fully comprehend that they're engaging with an illegal business. What the Supreme Court did when it repealed a federal law called PASPA, which had prevented states from legalizing sports betting within their own borders, was allow states to make a choice about bringing this activity, which is already happening, into the light, and you get benefits. You legalize and regulate. So now we've got companies like FanDuel who hold licenses, have to qualify. There is extensive background checks done on everyone in management. Having been through the process, I can assure you it's quite thorough. You're taxing this activity, so you're generating revenue for the state. And you have oversight on things like consumer protection, responsible gaming, truth in advertising. None of those rules apply to the illegal offshore sites. If you deposit $1,000 with them and you win $200, whether or not you, if you can't get your $1,200 out of the account, there's no recourse. There's nowhere to go. Those sites have no reason to monitor your play patterns and try to see if you're exhibiting signs of someone who's going down a path that's abnormal for how you've played before that may suggest you're chasing losses or exhibiting unsafe play, in which case we'll step in and ask you to take a timeout. None of those sorts of controls are in place on unregulated websites. So, while it may seem to some who are a little less familiar that we're introducing sports betting to the U.S. market, what we're introducing is legal regulated sports betting to the U.S. market so that states benefit, so that consumers benefit. It's not, you don't have to look too far in recent news to see a comparison. You know, here we are trying to bring activity that's been operating offshore, onshore with companies that are publicly traded, well-recognized, heavily regulated.
So here's something interesting. We have about 5 minutes left, and you were really behind the scenes, one of the architects in building this whole business, which now, after your last question, we're understanding, I mean, has changed everything in a very positive way. It's already a $10 billion about business, probably estimated to be a $40 billion business by the end of the decade. What were some of the behind the scenes that happened that made this a reality?
Sure. So the FanDuel story starts with some founders from Northern Ireland and Wales who got together in Scotland and figured out that fantasy sports was a big thing in the United States. So it's got an interesting origin story. Ultimately become one of two major players in fantasy sports. But the company was struggling. In 2015, we had a number of questions about the legality of our business. Probably did ourselves no favors with an advertising campaign that saturated the airwaves during the football season in 2015, and we faced some real challenges in that era. And one of the things that we knew we had to do was get out of arguing in court and arguing with state attorney generals about how to define our business, and instead go to state legislatures, and say, look, this is something people enjoy. Your constituents play fantasy sports, and you should recognize that. And we, as part of that, said we would embrace regulation. If there are concerns about consumer protection issues, let's do that. So from the course of 2015 to 2017, we hired lobbyists in a number of states. We passed laws in 20 states recognizing the legality of fantasy sports. That work we did laid the foundation. We had lobbyists in all these states. We passed laws to the same committees that when we had a bit of good fortune in 2018 when the Supreme Court took the PASPA appeal and reversed and repealed the PASPA law, opening up states to then pass their own sports betting laws. We went right back to all the same lobbyists, to the same legislators who had spearheaded passing the laws on fantasy sports. And we said, here's a real opportunity to generate revenue for your state. We'll regulate this at an even more strict, higher level. This is real gaming, real gambling. And so we went back and we leveraged that same work we'd done earlier. And I think, there was a lot of organic momentum for sports betting, certainly, but I feel like our efforts in educating legislators, helping them understand what other states like New Jersey and Pennsylvania, the early adopters, had done, has paved the way to where we're now operating sportsbook in 16 states, online sportsbook. In 2018, our DFS and horse racing business was 87% of our revenue. Today, those combined are 11%, and sportsbook is 66% of our total revenue.
What is the biggest sport?
So the basketball is actually our highest handle sport. It's a little bit, if you think about the sporting calendar, more games between the NBA and NCAA, March Madness. So the total handle and revenue are highest in NBA. The NFL and college football are our highest acquisition sport. So more people come to join FanDuel to make a bet on football than on any other sport, but the largest handle sport is basketball.
What have you learned about overcoming challenges, and what is your advice to other business leaders? The secret of overcoming challenges.
I will say that I've had a lot of reps during my FanDuel career, my FanDuel tenure, to work on dealing with adversity. There were a number of times in 2015 and 2016 where I was sitting on knowledge about the state of the company. I can remember being on the Acela between D.C., where I live, and New York, where our headquarters are, whispering feverishly on the train, trying to convince one of our payment processors to wait 48 hours before they announced publicly that they weren't going to process our fantasy sports transactions anymore, because I knew we had a vote in the California Assembly that was going to go demonstrably in our favor, and we just were desperate for a shot of good news at that point. We had 30 team deals that we had to unravel when the company was in a hard spot. And what I told those guys at that time was, my only grounds for getting out of these contracts are, we're not going to fulfill them. And I don't want to be the person you're chasing on the phone. I want to be the person who calls you in advance to say, we can't have these liabilities on the books and raise the money we need to survive. But if you help us now, who knows where we'll be in 3 or 4 years. Maybe we'll come out the other side in a great spot. And I'll remember. FanDuel will remember you were there for us. And it's given me tremendous pleasure to call some of those same teams and same people in many instances in 2018, 2019, 2020 and say, remember that conversation we had back in 2017? Well, look, we made it. And here we are on the other side. Let's do business together again. We're now a thriving company. We've got a real use for a partnership with you. And thanks to you, we're still here.
I want to tell you, Christian, congratulations and what a pleasure it is speaking with you on the CEO show.
You too, Robert. Thanks.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Rees, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Alan Murray. How are you, Alan?
Robert, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
And always good to see you. And Alan is the CEO of Fortune Media.
So I want to start out because I would say there must be over 99% recognition of Fortune Media. It's September 1st, 1929, and out comes Fortune Media 1 month about before the stock market crash. Talk about the original concept of Fortune Media, two, what your platforms are, and three, you've been CEO for almost a decade. What the organization means to you?
Well, first of all, I want to be very clear, Robert. I was not there in September of 1929. But here's my understanding of what happened at that time. Henry Luce, who had created Time magazine 6 or 7 years earlier, it was the height of the boom, and he thought there was an opportunity to do a big, beautiful magazine on business. He took a mock version of it to his board that September and said, "What do you think?" And they approved it. But the magazine didn't actually hit the streets until February of 1930. So it was conceived in the roaring 20s, but it was born into the Depression. And I think that's kind of shaped its culture and its feel ever since then. You know, there was a famous editor and a famous photographer for Fortune who wrote probably the most compelling chronicle of the pain of the Great Depression. Let us all praise famous men. And so Fortune was kind of from its very early, James Agee was the editor. Fortune from a very early day had a social conscience, and I think that's continued to this day. We can talk about it. But until 7 or 8 years ago, it was pretty much strictly a print magazine. And what I realized when I came on as editor was, that was about 8 years ago, before I became CEO, that my job was to figure out how to retool this magazine for a new century where print magazines weren't going to be the way to make a living. So we've spent a lot of time on that over the last few years, building up our executive conference business, building up new businesses. We have a training platform called Fortune Connect. We're about to launch a commerce platform called Fortune Recommends. I see that as my job here as CEO. How do I create enough extensions of this great brand to make sure that it sticks around for another 100 years?
And if you were looking at the entire spectrum and continuum of business publications in any capacity, digital, hard copy, what would you say the real differentiator is of Fortune? Is it the social consciousness?
Yeah, I think it's two things. One is, or maybe three things. I worked many years at the Wall Street Journal. It's a great publication. I read it every morning. Fortune has devoted more of its time and energy and skills to ranking, benchmarking business. The Fortune 500 is probably our most well-known brand, but we have the most powerful women's list, the world's most admired, great places to work, the Change the World list. So we really believe in the power of benchmarking, that in addition to the power of our journalism. And then second, we're willing to celebrate when business does good things, as well as write scathing articles when business does bad things. And then finally, as you said, the social conscience. We really believe our purpose is to help make business better in every sense of that word. And in the last 5 or 6 years, we've kind of doubled down on that. I mentioned the Change the World list, which is a list that's it's coming out in a few days. In fact, it's a list that celebrates companies that are making measurable progress addressing social problems as part of their core business strategy, profit-making strategy. And then we have a community called the CEO Initiative that's about 200 CEOs that meet regularly to share ideas on how they can maximize their social impact at the same time they're maximizing their profit. So it's become a core part of our purpose and our identity, and I think distinguishes us from other business media.
And a lot of that emergence occurred in terms of CEOs becoming acutely aware and changing the game of business. And you talk about it in your new book, which Tomorrow's Capitalist, I absolutely loved. And I read, thousands of business books.
But I thought the reason I did was because it told the whole story. So start off, I mean, actually the first chapter talks about the Pope in the Vatican and bringing CEOs together. I think it was in December of 2016. Talk about what actually occurred there.
Yeah, well, 2016 was kind of an interesting moment in the history of business and society. You had the Brexit vote in the UK, and a lot of business leaders were saying, whoa, you know, no one listened to us. I mean, we said this was a bad idea, and the public voted to do it anyway. And then in the U.S., you had this election where Donald Trump, on the Republican side, was running against globalization, running against free trade, running against the things that had made many of these business giants successful. And on the other side, you had Bernie Sanders, a self-declared socialist, almost winning the Democratic nomination. And so I think in 2016, a lot of business leaders were saying, whoa, wait a minute. We've got to do a better job convincing the world that we are good for society. Look, you and I believe in business. We believe in capitalism. You know that the phenomenal decline in poverty around the world of the last 30 years is a result of more countries embracing capitalism. But I think a lot of business leaders were saying, wait a minute, there are questions out there, you know, particularly among the younger generation, whether this system makes sense. So there was a real focus on how can we do a better job demonstrating our contributions to society. So we found out through a contact here in New York, the Monsignor Franco, who was at the Vatican on behalf at the UN on behalf of the Vatican. We found out through him that the Pope, who's, by the way, had not been a particularly business-friendly Pope. He came from Latin America, had seen many of the dark sides of capitalism, but he had an interest in engaging in dialogue with business leaders. We said we can make that happen. So we, after a lot of negotiations, because working with the Vatican is not a simple matter, but we took 100 CEOs of large companies, many of them people you know, names you know, companies you know. We took them to Rome. We spent a day in working groups talking about how can the private sector help address climate, workforce development, water shortages, many of these big social problems. There were some great ideas that came out of that, some of which became more than ideas. We had them all translated into Italian, sent them to the Pope overnight, and then on Saturday went to the Vatican. We got to spend a couple hours in the Sistine Chapel prior to the meeting, which was an amazing experience. And then the 100 CEOs met with Pope Francis, presented the result of their work, and he was impressed with what he saw, realized that these people had enormous influence on the state of the world, and spent a couple of hours with them, greeting each one of them individually. It was an amazing event. And out of that, Robert, the CEOs who participated, almost without exception, said to us, this is an important conversation. We should keep it going. And so out of that, we created the CEO Initiative.
And I think that was really the seed. And then the business roundtable with Jamie, you know, really drove things forward a lot.
Yeah, so that was the summer of 2019. And because I had been writing about this, and I should say, Robert, I did not come at this as a crusader. I mean, I've been a journalist since I was 9 years old. I always thought my role in life was more to explain the world than to change the world. I was hearing over the course of the last decade just a very different tone in the voices of the CEOs that I was interviewing. I'm sure you were hearing the same thing in your interviews. It was just a pretty dramatic change in how they thought about their place in society. So I started writing about this and started exploring why it was changing. And so when the Business Roundtable started to explore the same topics, they reached out to me. We had some research that we shared with them. And then when the time came, they gave me, let me talk to some of the leaders who had driven the change of the business roundtable. And I wrote a cover story for Fortune magazine on the roundtable change. I don't think they led the change. I think they sort of ratified the change. Something different was going on in business, and they felt the need to rewrite their purpose of a corporation statement.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we are going to be back with Alan Murray right after this commercial, and then you're going to hear how at 9 years old he set the seed to become a journalist, and you're also going to hear an important role that John Mackey, the co-founder of Whole Foods, played in this.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Alan Murray, who's the CEO of Fortune Media. We're talking about the change in terms of capitalism, and he has this book, Tomorrow's Capitalist, that just came out very recently, and frankly, I loved. So while you're listening, you know, go to Amazon, pick it up. But let's talk about a guy, John Mackey. So he was, there are so many people in this movement. He was one, I remember when I interviewed him the first time, he said, Robert, the body's job is not to produce red blood cells, just like a company's job is not to produce profit. But without it, you cannot exist. Talk about everything that you learned from him in terms of the concept of conscious capitalism. And you identify there are many different names, but to me, he was really one of the drivers in this.
Well, I think John Mackey was one of the earliest. And what was interesting about John Mackey was, you know, today everything becomes politicized. John Mackey was actually fundamentally a very politically conservative person, but he felt like the principles of business needed revision. And I have to say, the first time I talked to him, I thought, well, this is really interesting, even admirable. But it's unique. It's John Mackey. He's doing his own thing. But I think what happened over the course of the decade, particularly after the Great Recession, was you heard more and more people talking like this. Bill Gates gave a much noted speech at Davos in 2008. It was the year he was stepping down as CEO of Microsoft before he started his focus on charity, and he started talking about creative capitalism. Michael Porter, the famous professor at Harvard Business School, started talking about shared value capitalism. Mark Benioff in California was talking about compassionate capitalism. All of a sudden, everybody was trying to put an adjective in front of capitalism. They felt like we had to modify it. We had to do a better job showing its benefit to society. And so Mackey was there first, but what happened over the course of the decade was more and more people jumped on that train, until finally in 2019, the Business Roundtable said, yep, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
And so what do you believe the future would be? And I know you're trying to more explain what's happening than change it. But if you look, let's say, 5 years from now, where do you think capitalism might land?
Yeah, so Robert, this is really what the book is about. And this is why I spent so much time on the book, because I wanted to understand, is this just a fad? You know, is this a trend? Is it just a sort of a moment in PR where businesses are talking about their positive social impact? Or is there something more fundamental going on? So I spent a lot of time on it, talked to a lot of people, tried to look at some of the fundamental drivers. I think it's a change in the way businesses operate, fundamental change. And let me give you like one fact that helps to get your head around the change. If you look at the balance sheets of the Fortune 500 companies, well, 50 years ago, look at the balance sheets of the Fortune 500 and say, where is the value coming from in these companies? What you would derive from those balance sheets is that more than 80% of the value resided in physical stuff. It was plant, it was equipment, it was oil in the ground, it was inventory on the shelves. all stuff that you needed financial capital to buy, accumulate, support. And if you had it, you had value. So it kind of makes sense that in the world of 50 years ago, your primary focus would be the shareholder, because those are the people who are providing you the money to buy the stuff. If you do the same exercise today, look at the balance sheets of the Fortune 500. More than 85% of the value is intangibles. It's intellectual property. It's the brand value. It's all things that aren't tied to physical capital nearly as much as they're tied to human beings. It's your employees who can walk in and out the door every day. It's your customers who you've built up these relationships. So those are all much more human-centered sources of value. And I think what's really happening and driving this change in focus and in purpose is a recognition of the more human-centered value of today's corporation that's very different than the 20th century corporation. You know, in some ways, I have a colleague, Jeff Colvin, here at Fortune, who says that in some ways, 20th century business was all about making people into better machines. You were just a cog in that grand production line, and scientific management was all about making you work in a repeatable, predictable way. Well, in the 21st century, it's increasingly becoming clear, first of all, the machines are going to take care of themselves. Thank you very much. They're going to be smart enough to do what they need to do. And what we need to make businesses successful is better people. People with human skills, the skills of inspiring, motivating, thinking about, asking the right questions. And so all of this focus on a new purpose for the corporation is, in my mind, just an extension of making business more human.
On that note, before I go to your childhood, I just want you to give, and you don't need to give an explanation to this, if there are three characteristics, just give the one word, of CEOs of the future, what are those three characteristics?
Empathy, you've got to listen. Agility, you've got to deal with an overwhelming pace of change, and I see no sign that it's going to slow down. And I'm sorry, I'm going to break your rule and give two words here. Peripheral vision. You know, you really have to be paying attention to what's going on all around you, not just what's going on inside the company. I think those are the things we see changing to deal with this new world.
And there you have it. And that's how so many people can start. And not everyone has that vision at the young age, but imagine with all of your kids, all that we have 600,000 CEOs listening in this. Your kids can do something great. Just get them started. But here's the main message to remember. It's about peripheral vision. It's about agility. And it's about empathy. And that is what it will take to be the CEO of the future. See you next week. A pleasure having you on the show, Alan.
Great to be with you, Robert.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.